As we get started this morning, I'm going to ask if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, as I awkwardly try to put my glasses on so I can read. Today, I want us to talk about having an attitude of gratitude. And Jesus, in the story we're going to read in the Bible, Jesus has just healed 10 lepers and stuff like that. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. They read like this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. On Thanksgiving Day, the family, they were seated around the table preparing for their annual holiday meal. Then, from the oldest down to the youngest, they were asked to express their thanks. When it came time for the five-year-old in the family to, he began by looking at the turkey that was sitting on the table, and he expressed his thanks for it, saying that although he had not tried it, he had not tasted it, he knew that it was going to be good. After that rather novel expression of thanksgiving, he began with a more predictable line of credits. He thanked his mother for cooking the turkey and his father for buying it. But then he went beyond that. He joined together a multitude of benefactors involved in their Thanksgiving meal. He said, "I'm thankful for the checker at the grocery store who checked out the turkey, and for the grocery store people who put it on the shelf. I'm thankful for the farmer who made it fat, and for the man who made the feed." In expressing his thankfulness, he traced the turkey all the way from its origin to the plate in front of them. And then looking around the table, he asked, "Did I leave anybody out?" To which his 7-year-old brother sarcastically said, "Yeah, God." And solemnly, without being frustrated at all, the 5-year-old replied, "I was about to get to him." Throughout our nation's history, from George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and even to this very day, there have been many Thanksgiving proclamations and celebrations. And all of the early celebrations had one thing in common. Their thanksgiving, it was directed toward God himself. Despite some very hard times, the people acknowledged that God was their creator and their provider, and that all good things ultimately come from him. And it is in that spirit that we gather this morning, and in just a little bit we'll be celebrating a Thanksgiving meal, and some of you will be celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." But how can we have this attitude continually? I believe the answer lies in our attitude toward thanksgiving. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective on our circumstances and on our relationship with God. Today I want to share with you 3 things that we learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. First of all, we should not be slow to express our thanksgiving. A chorus that we often sing is actually based on Psalms 100, verse 4, which says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." David says in Psalms 107, verse 1, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." It was Thanksgiving Day. It was in a nursing home. And the small resident population, they were gathered about their Thanksgiving table. And the director asked each one of them in turn to express one thing for which they were thankful. Thanks were expressed for the home in which they were all able to stay, for families who loved them, for people who came to visit them. And the list, it kind of went on. And then one little old lady, she spoke up and she said, "I am thankful for two perfectly good teeth, one on my upper jaw and one on my lower jaw, that are perfectly lined up so I can chew my food." In Luke, the 17th chapter, we read about 10 men who had leprosy and they were all healed by Jesus. And of those 10 men, only one came back to thank Jesus. And because of that, Jesus says to the man, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." Now, why did Jesus say that to the man? I mean, just like the other nine, he had already been healed of the leprosy. He had been cleansed. But when Jesus says to him, "Your faith has made you whole," Jesus wasn't talking about physical healing. He was talking about a mental, a spiritual healing as well. His life, it was completely transformed, and he was made whole. We too are made whole by our faith and our thanksgiving. Psychologists will tell us that sincere gratitude, genuine thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. A thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others as well. For thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but also for the receiver. But if you're not grateful, if we do not express our thanksgiving, then it can have the opposite effect. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 1, verse 21. The Apostle Paul says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Now, before we leave this point, let me give a few ways in which we can say thank you to God. We say thank you to God when we spend time with him. And I'm not just talking about this hour or so that we meet on Sunday mornings. Meeting with him on a regular time. We say thank you when we forgive others. When we serve his church. When we share his gospel with others. We say thank you when we reach out to hurting people. When we give to God the very best of our time, our talent, and our treasures. And we say thank you when we praise him from our heart, from our very being, everything that we are. Truly, our thanksgiving to God should be expressed not only by our lips, but also by our lives. Secondly, our thanksgiving should be expansive. And as our thanksgiving expands, it should include at least two things for which we thank God for. The first is the blessings that we have received. Our prayers at times are very general. We say, "Thank you, God, for all your blessings." But what blessings do you mean? What blessings are we talking about? I want you to listen to this poem, and then maybe you will be able to count your blessings and name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. "Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her, she seemed so gay, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and used a crutch, but as she passed, she smiled. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet, the world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courteous I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, then I said, why don't you join the others there? He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears, the world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine, oh God, forgive me when I whine. You see, we should not only thank God for our blessings, but we should also thank God for the challenges that come our way. Now, this can be a rather tough thing to do. I understand that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks. And you may think, hey, that was easy for the Apostle Paul to say. But you know, it really wasn't. Paul had suffered from a difficult physical problem that he called a thorn in the flesh, and we don't really know what it is. The Bible doesn't tell us. Beside that, he had also experienced being run out of a town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, being cold, being hungry, being shipwrecked, and being stoned because of his faith. And yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. And Paul said several things that reveal his attitude of gratitude about burdens and trials. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, he says, this is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Again, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. God used the Apostle Paul in a mighty way as a witness to his generation, but also to us even here today. And in the same way, God can use us. Finally, we need to realize that there are at least 3 things that can steal our gratitude. And I realize there are more than that, and we can come up with a list, but there's 3 that I want to focus in on this morning. 3 things that can keep us from being thankful. The first one is our pride. This is the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything that I have. And you see, with this attitude, we feel like we have no one to thank but ourselves. We did it all on our own. Now, in his book, which was entitled Folk Psalms of Faith, Ray Stedman, he tells of an experience that Harry Ironside had in a crowded restaurant. Just as Ironside was about to begin his meal, a man approached and asked if he could join him at the table, sit with him, and Ironside said, sure, go ahead, have a seat. And then, as was his custom, Ironside bowed his head in prayer. And when he opened his eyes and he looked up, the man asked, do you have a headache? Ironside replied, no, I don't. The man asked, well, is there something wrong with your food? To which Ironside replied, no, I was just thanking God as I always do before I eat. The man replied, oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody. I eat. I just start right on in. And you may remember this, I've used it before, but it fits in so well. Ironside said, yes, you're just like my dog. That is exactly what he does too. Second attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit, or this constant complaining. You see, instead of being grateful, such a person will always find something to complain about. There was a lady, and she was known as an incurable grumbler. She was constantly complaining about everything. And at last, her preacher thought that he had found something for which she would be happy. You see, her potato crop, it was the best for miles around. The best year, the finest year she'd had. And when the preacher saw her, he said with his beaming smile, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how great your potatoes look this year." To which she replied, "They're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs?" The third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is just taking things for granted. Someone said that if the stars only came out once a year, that we'd stay out all night to watch them. But since they are there every night, we just take them for granted. When Lisa and I travel to the Philippines, you can bet I'll be out at the water at least once a day, maybe twice a day. It is so nice and warm there. The people who live in the area, they have it all the time. You don't find them out in the water very often. The Israelites, they were wandering in the desert, and they grumbled because they had no food. And so God miraculously, he sent manna down to cover the ground and to meet their needs. And then they grumbled because it was the exact same thing every day. See, they were never satisfied. Are we like the Israelites? Do we grumble? Are we never satisfied? I want to call your attention once again to the Apostle Paul's word that we read a little bit earlier. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now notice that Paul didn't say to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. You see, all the circumstances that come our way are not necessarily good. But there will always be something in those circumstances for which to give thanks. In Daniel Defoe's novel, Robinson Crusoe, among the very first things that Crusoe did when he found himself shipwrecked alone on a deserted island was he made out a list. On one side of the list, he wrote down all of his problems. And on the other side, he wrote down all of his blessings. For example, he was alone on a desolate island, but he was still alive and not drowned like all of his other shipmates. All the food supplies had been lost, but there was plenty of fresh fruit and water there on the island. He had only the clothes that he was wearing, but at least it was a warm climate, and he really didn't need anything else. He was without a means of defense, but he saw no wild animals. And he had nothing to speak of but the clothes on his back. But the wrecked ship, it was so close to shore that he could go and salvage the things that were necessary for his survival. And what Caruso discovered was that for every negative aspect of his situation, there was a positive aspect. Something for which to be thankful. Perhaps this would be a good time for us to take an inventory of our own blessings as well. Worship team is going to come up in a few moments and lead us in a time of worship, of thanksgiving. You see, whether it's our pride or this complaining attitude or maybe just simply taking things for granted, these are the things that keep us from being truly thankful for all that God has given to us. And he has blessed us and provided for us in a mighty way. You see, the psalmist was right when he wrote in Psalms 92, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord."